Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay
Shri Sai Ram. Dear listeners, greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. You are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmonies Asia stream, and today is a holy Thursday, and a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live. I am Raghu, speaking to you live from Radio Sai Studios. Dear listeners, as always, let us at the very beginning offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams at the lotus feet of the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony, that is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I thank him profusely for giving me this opportunity to speak in his radio, God's own radio station, that is Radio Sai Global Harmony. The time right now in our studio is 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and as I'm speaking to you right now, the bhajan session in Sai Kulanth Hall has just concluded with Mangala Arati, and Swami's devotees have lined up in Sai Kulanth Hall right now to offer their prayers or to offer their pranams to Bhagawan. The Vedam session and Bhajan session were broadcast live from Radio Sai Global Harmony through the Asia stream. I hope you all have listened to them and enjoyed them. Today is 23rd of May, and the time, as I said, is 9:40 a.m., and the weather in the Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram in the Divine Valley is quite hot. Yes, the temperatures have slowly increased. In fact, the temperatures are in the 40s, and the weather forecast says that the temperatures may touch up to 45 degrees Celsius in today, tomorrow and day after tomorrow for the next couple of days. So it's quite hot here in the ashram in Prashanthi Nilayam. Well, last 1 week was an eventful week. This month, 18th and 19th of this month, that is Friday and Saturday, last Friday and Saturday was Buddha Purnima celebration. Sorry, 18th and 19th, that is Saturday and Sunday. And 20th, 21st and 22nd, that is last 3 days, Swami's devotees from Nepal had come to Prashanthi Nilayam, and it was the Parthi Yatra of Swami's devotees from Nepal last 3 days. In fact, dear listeners, yesterday was 22nd, and yesterday was a very important day in the Sai calendar, the 22nd of May. On 22nd of May in the year 2007, one of Swami's greatest devotee in the form of an elephant had merged in Swami's lotus feet. Yes, I am talking about Sai Gita. And Swami himself did the final rites of Sai Gita, proving to the world that Sai Gita's love and devotion to Bhagwan was unparalleled. Today is 23rd of May, and again, today is another very important day in Sai calendar. Has on 23rd of May in the year 1940, a very important incident happened in Swami's life. Swami was just 14 years old then, and he used to perform many miracles like materialization and reciting poetry and many Sanskrit verses. Seeing all this, his father, Venkappa Raju, got irritated and angry because his father and his elder brother wanted Satya, the little Satya, to study well in school and to do the civil services, the public services, and get a good government job. But on the other hand, Satya was doing all these miracles and people were worshipping Satya. So seeing all this, Peda Venkappa Raju, Swami's father, got irritated and angry, and he took a stick and asked Satya, who is he really? And Satya gave an answer, that is, he is Sai Baba. So let's first listen to this incident. This incident is in the form of an audio documentary, recorded in the form of an audio documentary. So let's listen to this beautiful incident that happened on 23rd of May in the year 1940.
Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, revered as the living avatar, is today adored by millions from diverse backgrounds and nationalities. His is a life dedicated completely to the spiritual uplift of humanity. There is only one religion, the religion of love. There is only one language, the language of the heart. And there is only one God, and He is omnipresent. Love all, serve all. Such are His potent messages, which have captured the imagination of people belonging to all cultures and climes. With a mere glance or spoken word, He brings about transformation in people from all walks of life. And His humanitarian projects, including free education, water, and health care, have had an unparalleled global impact.
Radio Sai presents Loving Legend, Living Legacies, the radio series on the life of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Poetry flowed from Satya's pen in Kamalapuram to such an extent that a local shopkeeper inquired if the boy would consider writing an advertisement for him. Eventually, Satya agreed. The result was a huge success. The shopkeeper attempted to give the lad some new clothing in payment, but the child poet refused to accept them. The shopkeeper would not take the clothes back, so Satya declared he would distribute the clothing to beggars. A vivid demonstration of the ceiling on desires and of not desiring the fruits of one's action. More shopkeepers came forth, requesting the sweet poetry of Bhagwan. Soon, Seshamaraju, his earthly elder brother, got tired of these activities, and since school was out of session, sent his younger brother back to Puttaparthi. But Satya's pen kept lilting out poems and songs, this time to provide social commentary. With a group of boys, his verse gently mocked the latest fashions.
Baba remembers when wristwatches made their entry for the first time. The headman of the village used to tie one wristwatch to his left hand and wear costly dhotis and go about displaying vanity. If anyone wore a wristwatch in those days, he was considered to be a great man. Deriding such vainglorious practices, Baba wrote the following song. People wear some glittering white badge to the left hand, with leather belt tied to it. What fashion is this, oh dear, what fashion is this? Long mustache is trimmed and shaved. Few hairs are kept under the nose instead. What fashion is this, oh dear, What fashion is this? Baba has said that he was engaged in such activity to reform the elders in the village. He would observe their weaknesses, compose appropriate songs deriding their behavior, and make the young boys sing those satirical songs in front of their houses. Bhagwan has explained it as an attempt to bring about transformation among those who had strayed.
There were more poems undertaken for various reasons, and the demand for them was growing by leaps and bounds. In the meantime, Seshamaraju returned for vacation. Being a poet himself, the elder brother became jealous at Satya's popularity and whisked Satya away to Urvakonda, where Seshamaraju had been hired as the school's Telugu teacher. Satya became leader of the Urvakonda school prayer group. Baba's biographer, N. Kasturi, writes,
"He ascended the dais every day when the entire school gathered for prayer before commencing work, and it was his voice that sanctified the air and inspired both teachers and the taught to dedicate themselves to the allotted tasks. He excelled in athletics, from track to sack race, was best among scouts, and the life and soul of school theatrics."
When the playwright William Shakespeare wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players," he wittingly or unwittingly gave a description of the divine drama. In Urvakonda, the divine dramatist took to the stage a morality play with the Telugu title Chepinatu Chestara. In English, do deeds follow words? The play points out hypocrisy in adults. A housewife, a father, and a schoolteacher each succumb in their own way to expedient behavior, instead of doing the right thing. When a boy, played by 12-year-old Satya, confronts them, they make angry excuses. Nonplussed, he throws away his school books and refuses to go to school. To all three adults gathered before him, he delivers a zinger.
"If all that you teach as mother and father and guru is only to be spoken and discarded when it comes to action, I do not understand why I should learn anything at all."
This opened the eyes of the elders, who decided to mend their ways in regard to speaking truth and acting in truth. Chepinatu Chestara clearly showed Baba's early concern that education must include moral instruction. The seeds of educare had been planted, and the play foreshadowed a landmark event still to come.
When things went missing, people in Urvakonda knew to ask Satya. The child gained the respect of the Muslim community when the owner of a horse-drawn cart lost his horse. Frantic searches had yielded nothing, and the man stood the chance of losing his sole livelihood. Friends directed the hapless gentleman to a certain wonder-working student. Satya Narayana Raju described a certain grove a mile and a half from town. And, sure enough, the horse was quietly grazing, all alone. After this, the Muslim owners of the other horse-drawn carts insisted on giving Satya a lift to school in hopes of retaining the luck the boy instilled. In this way, unity in diversity was demonstrated. The 8th day of March, 1940, marks a cosmic turning point. Satya was allegedly stung by a scorpion. His health became impaired, and his behavior appeared to undergo a change. The village medics were consulted, but that did not help. Some were convinced that Satya had come under the spell of evil spirits. And all sorts of quack remedies were tried, but they too were of no avail. A frantic message was sent to Satya's parents in Puttaparthi, and they both rushed to Uravakonda, consumed with anxiety. Everyone was puzzled since Satya was no longer the Satya they knew. He appeared remote, withdrawn, and indifferent to worldly matters. If he spoke, which was rarely, it was always on spiritual matters. At times he would burst into Vedic hymns he had never learned. On matters philosophical and spiritual, he even dared to correct elders, acknowledged experts, and scholars. Satya was taken to locations like Bellary and Dharmavaram for treatment, but there was no improvement. Eventually, he was taken to an exorcist in Kadiri, a mean and cruel person. Here, young Satya was put through painful rounds of physical torture. Of this treatment, Baba, speaking in the third person, told devotee Jack Hislop, quote, "During all the torture, he smiled and felt no pain. He at no time had even the slightest body identification," unquote. Finally, the demonic witch doctor's treatment became too much for the family, and Satya was whisked away back to his home in Puttaparthi.
Thus, the glory of the Lord could not be contained, and suggested itself in curious events and confrontations, now cherished and pondered over by devotees. On the 23rd of May, 1940, Satya rose from bed in a good mood and called the members of the household round him. He materialized sugar candy, sweets, and flowers. Neighbors quickly rushed in, eager to receive these goodies that seemed to appear out of nowhere with the wave of the divine hand. When Father Venkamaraju arrived to assess this cheerful turn in his son, the crowd asked him to go wash his hands and face before approaching the giver of gifts. Venkamaraju was angered by that impertinence and annoyed by what he considered parlor tricks and sleight of hand. He wanted to put a stop to what he was certain would end in tragedy. Armed with a large stick, he approached the boy with the demand.
"Are you a god? Or a ghost? Or a madcap? Tell me."
"I am Sai Baba."
The stick slid to the ground. Venkamaraju was stunned into silence, but Satya, or now Sai Baba, continued.
"I have come to ward off all your troubles. Keep your houses clean and pure."
"What are we to do with you?"
"Worship me."
"When?"
"Every Thursday."
Satya was announcing that he was the reincarnation of Sai Baba of Shirdi. Though not widely known in these parts, word got out about a certain Muslim miracle worker with that name. On one particular Thursday, a villager challenged the boy's incredible claim.
"If you are Sai Baba, show us some proof now."
"Yes, I shall. Place in my hands those jasmine flowers."
With a quick gesture, he threw them on the floor.
"Look, look."
To their astonishment, the flowers landed to form the words Sai Baba in perfect Telugu script.
Shivam Sundaram Amal Aseem అఖండగమ్యం సత్యం శివం సుందరం చిదానందరూపం సదానందరూపం శివోహం 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 శివోహం
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to a fresh episode of Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations on Radio Sai with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And today, I have someone who has experienced this matchless grace of Bhagwan for nearly four decades. Mr. Harihara Krishnan from Chennai, a very accomplished financial executive. Mr. Krishnan is a CA, a chartered accountant, who has also done his cost and management accountancy from UK. He has held very senior positions with a US multinational company called NCR Corporation. He was in the Middle East overseeing the Middle East and Africa operations as head of financial planning for this company and later as financial and administrative manager again for NCR Corporation in the Upper Gulf region, which is comprising of Kuwait, Bahrain and Qatar. Talking about his professional accomplishments, there is plenty, because in his career as a financial executive, he has gained a lot of reputation and respect, not only as a financial wizard, but also as a person. But most importantly, the reason we have invited Mr. Krishnan to the studio today is the special bond that Mr. Krishnan has forged with the Lord, and the way Bhagwan has made his presence felt in his life is a story which is not only absolutely beautiful but tremendously inspiring. It is inspiring for all of us who want to internalize the Lord, his love and his message. And it is for this reason, to listen to him as well and to learn from his intimacy and association and interaction with Bhagwan, with that we have him here in the program Tryst with Divinity. Welcome, sir, to this program.
Sairam, I feel it my fortune to have been blessed by Bhagwan to be in the studio and share some of my experiences with all the Sai brothers, sisters, everyone.
And also, I should inform you, dear listeners, that Mr. Hari Hare Krishnan is the father of one of our alumnus, Hari Vijayaram, who completed his master's in Bhagwan's university almost 4 or 5 years ago. So, coming now to your journey to the lotus feet, maybe we should start right from there, because I think if we know that, and after that, as you narrate some of the very, very fascinating episodes from your life, we will be able to relate to it.
Right, sir.
So let's begin how the Lord entered your heart.
Right from childhood, our father told us we had to do Namasmarana daily, half an hour. And then what he said is, this is the biggest wealth I am giving you to all of you children.
Your father said this.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then one more thing he said, treat all human beings equally and you do to them what you would expect them to do. With that your life will be successful, divine grace will automatically flow and you don't have to worry about anything. This is the biggest wealth I am passing on to you. That's how we have been brought up. And one more thing which he said, you don't run after so many Swamijis or so many new saints whom you don't know. What we used to do is, we will go to Sringeri Math, which is there with our forefathers and even through our generations. And then we used to worship them, and also the great Kanchi Seer, Paramacharya.
These are the...
This is just the background.
Yes.
So, with this background, okay, we were carrying on with the spiritual activity and the service, whatever we could do, at a very, very small level, right from childhood days. Then it was around 1974, after finishing my CA, I went to Bombay just to take up a job. I was staying with a relative's house. They were Swami's devotees from mid-60s. And Swami had come to Dharmakshetra at that time, and they were going for darshan. So I was the one who was not going for darshan. I was staying back.
Because
at
your
home.
Father had yeah. told, don't yeah. go after Swamiji.
Don't go after Swamiji.
But you were going to mutts, and these mutts, the propagators of Indian culture.
Indian
There's
culture.
There's so much yeah. of Indian culture, steeped values of Indian culture, which was in your blood and which was going on in the family, the practice,
yeah.
and you were visiting all these holy places, but you were against seeing anyone suddenly new as a saint or a sage.
Yeah, yeah. And which were verified by my forefathers also, saying that yes, certification was given by my forefather and the forefathers. So I was quite happy with whatever I was doing. So first few days I did not go. Then my cousin, he said, Swami is going back to Puttaparthi tomorrow, so you come along with me. You are simply idling your time. Next week only you are going to take up a job. Better you come along with me. So I asked him, so how do we go from here? He said, from Sayan we have to go to Andheri, and then from there take a bus, go to Dharmakshetra, then walk a little bit, and then we'll reach Dharmakshetra.
Dharmakshetra is Swami's, where Swami's abode.
Swami's abode in Mumbai.
Yes.
Then I asked him, will there be a lot of crowd? He said, oh yeah, there'll be a lot of crowd. Then I said, no, in that case I am not interested, because I am worried about coming back. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be mixed with a lot of crowd. So better you go. Then he said, no, you should come. Then I said, in that case, just to give you company, I'm coming with you to Dharmakshetra. But one condition, I'll be there just for 3 minutes, not more than 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you see Swami, well and good. You worship him, have his darshan. If you don't see Swami, after 3 minutes you had to come back.
Oh.
That was the deal.
Mm.
So we went there. And then we were almost sitting at the end. 3 minutes got over, Swami did not come. And I had not seen Swami physically before that. Then my cousin said, why don't you give me another 3 minutes? So another 3 minutes was also given. 6 minutes over, Swami did not come. Then last chance, he said, 3 more minutes. 3 times you are given. So 9 minutes got over, Swami did not come. Then I told him, keeping up your word is more important than worshipping Swami.
Mm.
Only you have brought me here, so let's go back. So with lot of reluctance and hesitation, he got up. And I can imagine what sort of feeling he would have had at that time. So we just got up, came out of that Shamiana. As we came out, Swami's car was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Then immediately he pushed me inside, a lot of crowd was there. I was just pushed inside the Shamiana. We were almost at the end. And I was sitting in one junction. So this junction was a strategic junction in the sense Swami could straight away walk down from the dais in the middle, or he can get into our side from any of the side entrances. And we were at the last block. So what happened was, Swami went to the dais. Within a few minutes he got down. Then he came out. So everybody was telling that Swami is going out somewhere. So I was also thinking, oh, thank God, anyway, it's over, this person had darshan. So I also had this darshan of this holy person, so we will go back. Then what happened was, suddenly Swami came from the side where I was sitting in that junction. He straight away came, and Swami was standing in front of me. He raised his hand, and as if seeing somebody, hey, you have come, something like that.
He looked
showed,
at you.
Yeah, he straight away looked eye to eye. And then showed the gesture, hey, you have come.
As if saying,
yeah. I was not knowing what to do.
You never expected.
I never expected, because I was not even prepared. I was not prepared even what to do. Even if Swami comes and stands in front of me, I was not told what I should do. So I just prayed. I said, Ram, 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 Ram. But Swami was not prepared to leave me. He made a few steps. Again he came back. He looked at me. He showed his hands as if asking me to touch his hands. But I was not prepared at all. The sense I was just thinking, you see, with all these thoughts I have come, I am impure. So I was just praying to Lord Rama. I said, Rama, only you are doing everything. I know you only. I don't know anybody else in this world. If you are Lord Rama, okay, Sati Sai Baba is a great avatar, I have heard, but this is the first time I am seeing him person to person, and this is what he is doing. He is stretching his hands and asking me to touch. I don't know. So, hey Rama, if you have come as Sati Sai Baba, please, you grace, you touch me.
Your devotion to Rama was very strong.
Very, very, very strong. So then, Swami, he bent. So I was holding both the hands near my nose.
Cupped. In pranam's position.
In pranam's position. And I was saying, Ram, 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 if you are Lord Rama, you touch. Then Swami just bent, touched me, touched my hand. Then I also touched his hand. Swami blessed straight away, went back to the dais. That was the first time I saw Swami. That was the interaction.
9 minutes and then divine blessings.
Divine blessing. Only Swami knows, is it not? What happened was subsequently in 1978, I went abroad to take up this job with NCR Corporation. Somewhere around 1980 or so, one with Mr. Vinod Pasi, who is also a chartered accountant, who is working for Central Trust now.
No, he's the controller of finance.
Okay, yeah, controller of finance. He was also there. He was bachelor at that time. And then one other gentleman by name Dwaraknath, who was a bhajan convener in Whitefield for some time, I think even now also. He is also a chartered accountant. Both of them are devotees for many decades. Their families are devotees for many decades. So they said, Hari, the three of us will start a samiti in Bahrain and then we'll start bhajans. So we started with bhajan session in Mr. Vinod Pasi's house. Two singers and I was following, only just three of us. Then Swami used to come in dreams regularly and I was not knowing. I was just thinking, I never think about Swami, but he keeps on coming and then in every dream there will be some divine message. Mm-hmm. Outside this world. Like, I will tell you one such dream. It was a dream where we were all carrying big stones. Each one was carrying a big stone of the size of 5-story building on mm-hmm. the back. Everyone known to me was there in that dream. So, as we were passing, Swami was sitting by the roadside. He just called me. He said, hey, I want to talk to you. So I was in a hurry and then I just said, why is he stopping me? So I said, oh, yeah, please tell me, what do you want to say? Swami said, no, I want an answer from you. You answer to my question and then carry on. So I thought, okay, it's such a simple question. He will ask something so I can answer and then just carry on with my work. Work in the sense carrying the load. 5-story building size stone. So I looked at Swami. Then he said, oh, you are in a hurry. Not in the dream, I could not recognize it as Swami. Okay, it was Swami only, Swami sitting there. So I said, yes, I am in a hurry. Then Swami said, oh, you are in a hurry. What's your destination? I said, very simple. I said, no, I don't know the destination. Then he said, oh, without knowing the destination, you are in a hurry, carrying such a big load on your back. As if it's quite normal, I said, yeah, yes. Then Swami said, what is the basis on which you are moving? I said, it's simple. The man in front of me is walking, so I am just following him. Swami asked me, does he know the destination? Then I said, for sure he knows the destination. And Swami said, no, he doesn't know the destination. You ask him. And then I thought, okay, I can just get the reply from the man in front of me. So I asked him, you please tell our destination because you must be knowing. And then this man said, no, I don't know the destination. Then Swami said, you people are walking without knowing the destination. Then I said, no, the man in front of him, he will be knowing the destination. Then Swami said, nobody in this crowd knows the destination. All of you are in a hurry, carrying heavy loads of burden without knowing the destination. Then I said, no, Swami, no, somebody will be knowing. Then he said, you shout and ask whether anybody knows the destination. So I gave a shout saying that, is there anyone who knows the destination? Then there was no reply. Absolute silence. Mm-hmm. Then I realized, okay, there is something wrong. I looked at Swami. Then Swami said, whatever I tell you now, it won't enter your heart. After 1600 years, I will take avatar in Puttaparthi as Sati Sai Baba. And at that time, whatever I say, those words will enter your hearts. Go! He shouted. Then I just went. The dream got over. I wept and wept. So that is how we are leading our lives, without knowing the goal of our life. carrying heavy burdens on the way and following people who do not know their destinations. And when an avatar comes, the avatar creates awareness in the minds of all the jivas, showing the reality, removing the ignorance, showing the path, and making the jivas to take that divine path.
So that probably set you thinking.
That made me to think a lot. Then in several dreams, Swami had given, shown various forms. Like, you know, some dream he used to come, he will say, look at me, Swami will be there. Next moment he will just change himself to Lord Vinayaka, then back to Swami, then again he will show the darshan of Goddess, then suddenly he will hug me, and I will just open my eyes, everywhere we can see the Goddess.
You will see the Goddess everywhere.
Goddess everywhere, and it's a totally different feeling. You have no attachment, nothing to do with this world. So all these dreams used to happen between, say, 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning during Brahma Muhurtam time. And then once you wake up, that's all. You are still in that dream. Just to continue one more thing. So I was more or less controlled by Swami. The sense I knew, okay, there is nothing I can do without His knowledge and without His blessings. And He is the mover. I am nobody. Then what happened was, Vinod Pasi and Dwaraknath, we were just the three of us, and then Mr. Vinod Pasi got married. So Dwarak also got married. I was the one who was a bachelor. But I told my parents that you find a girl for me who can sing bhajans and who should do Sai service. That's the kind of girl I should marry. And I don't have to even look at the girl. If you tell, marry so-and-so girl, she has got this quality, straight away I will marry. So my parents were looking for a suitable alliance. And then in one of the dreams, what happened was Swami came in the dream. Normally, okay, he will sit in the chair, I will sit by his side. First he will ask me, take Pada Namaskar, and then all the conversations will start. So that day what happened was, Swami said, tomorrow morning when you go to the office, you will get a girl's photo, you marry her. And then with his thumb, he applied kumkum on my forehead. So before going to the office that day, I knew there will be mail in which the girl's photo will come, all those things. So ultimately, I married that girl, just agreed. Myself and my wife were the last persons to see each other, just one day before the marriage. So you see how Swami makes his devotees to feel that he is doing everything for them, not only in the worldly affairs, but beyond this world also. Like some of the previous lives also, he had shown how I had struggled without parents, all those things. So I was wondering, what is this connection between Sathya Sai Baba and myself? Okay, all these dreams are good. They are all elevating my thoughts, words and deeds. But why is he coming? That was a question I had for many years. One day in one dream, Swami asked me, you have this doubt, is it not? Why I am coming in my dream? And all these dreams, normally the sequence is Swami will be sitting in a chair, I will be by his side. Swami will ask me to take Pada Namaskar. Then I will take Pada Namaskar by his side, I will say, I will be sitting. Then the conversation will start. Some of the dreams will be for hours. Some will be for half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, like that it used to go on. Then Swami said, you have this doubt why I am coming in your dream so frequently. Tell me the answer. So I said, Swami, though I am in a foreign country, I do Namasmarana daily in the evening, right from childhood. Then Swami nodded, he said, oh yes, good. Then I knew that's not the specific answer. Then I told him, okay, I told him, Swami, I'm a pure vegetarian, though I work for an American company, I am still a vegetarian. Then Swami laughed. He said, okay, that's also okay, he said. Then third thing I said, I don't take alcoholic drinks. Then Swami said, oh, okay, but what's the main reason, you please tell me. Then I said, Swami, I don't know. Then Swami said, okay, come with me. Then the next scene was our native place. Native place, house in the native place, in the village. Swami enters our house and my father was sitting in the main room. He was doing some prayers. So I was feeling bad in the sense Swami is entering the house. My father is not getting up and welcoming him. So I was just telling Swami, please come this way. Then Swami said, just keep quiet. I know everything, he said. So I kept quiet. Swami went in front of my father. There were some vadas, all those things. Suddenly Swami took one vada. And then my father opened his eyes. He said, Swami, 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 and then fell at Swami's feet. Then Swami told my father, you see, your father, your forefathers, they are all happy. They have been praying for generations to come and bless this family. They are all very happy. That is why I have come. Then he looked at me, just smiled. The dream got over.
It is the prayers of our forefathers, our ancestors. Just for us to know God is itself something that we can never take the credit for.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
In fact, every time Bhagwan showered anything on us, we know that we don't deserve any bit of it. And it is absolutely, completely only His infinite love that He wants to give. If you have to see any of our deservedness, we don't know if any of us will deserve to experience even 1 second or 1 minute of His presence. And that's what Swami also had told many times. It is just only His love and grace. And of course, the blessings of our forefathers and the merits of our ancestors. In fact, there have been times when someone asks Swami why Swami is giving attention to one particular student or someone is receiving more opportunities. And Swami made it very clear and said that it is the prarabdha, it is the karma, it is the merits that is there to the credit of His account, on account of His acts and the acts of His family. So I think again it was a confirmation, the same thing that Swami blessed you with. Wonderful, sir.
And then how Swami corrects, I'll tell you one other incident. On a special occasion, there was a bhajan in one of the Sai devotees' houses. The house lady sang the second or third song. Then again, after a few rounds, again she sang another song. Then after some time, again she sang for the third time. So just at that time, a thought came to my mind. Oh, this particular song, instead of this lady singing, if the other lady sings, somebody else, that will be wonderful with high pitch. It will be simply super. That was a thought which came to my mind. Then it was over. Then I was also singing bhajan. Completely forgot about it. That night Swami came in my dream. So it was a white field. Swami was sitting near the tree. I was standing by His side. Swami did not speak to me at all. Then this particular lady who sang three times and who is an average singer, she was standing in front of Swami. And Swami was having all these betels, flowers, bananas and a sari. The sari design, it was very, very clearly visible to me. And I noted everything in the dream. In that sense, okay, everything was noted by me. Then Swami said to that lady, that bhajan is wonderful. Swami's blessings are always there. I liked it. So Swami said, have Pada Namaskar. So that lady had Pada Namaskar. The dream got over. It was a message for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then immediately I realized my mistake. Next day went and apologized to that lady. And she was very happy in the sense. She said, at least in dream, I could get a sari from Swami. But what happened was, 10 years later, when we were here in Puttaparthi, and when that lady was also here as part of Sai devotees from Bahrain, Swami gave saris to all the devotees. And this lady got the same design sari on that day.
Oh my God.
How is it possible? So how softly Swami corrects even our thoughts, words and deeds, is it not? Anybody else would have shouted, you are nobody to think this way or that way. Swami never did that. Gentle way of correcting the devotees.
Wonderful, sir. So this is the way, I mean, through so many ways, Swami was guiding you. Now, very firmly put you on the spiritual path. And then there were lessons coming in almost every day through different means. And then I've heard that one of the remarkable things that have happened to you in your life is how you escaped from the Gulf during the war. It would be nice if you can share with us that story.
Before that, I just want to tell one thing. All are Swami's devotees. All are Swami's children. Just because somebody is having some experience, one need not feel he or she is specially blessed. We are blessed only when we lead our lives to the expectations of Swami. When Swami says, "Your life is my message," he expects us to lead a particular way of life which will reflect Swami's love for everybody. So to that extent, we have to elevate our thoughts, words and deeds. I have seen plenty of people who had plenty of experiences, much more than what I have. And there are equal or more number of people who did not have any experiences, but who are leading their lives in the Sanatana Dharma way. So all those devotees, I do my humble salutations. And with these salutations and with pranams at the lotus feet of Swami, I'll just narrate this Kuwait incident. Prior to going to Kuwait, I was in Bahrain. Prior to that, I was in Cyprus also. What happened was, there was a change of sponsorship in Kuwait. See, in all the Gulf countries, you need a local person to sponsor the company and then sponsor all the employees of the company.
By sponsor, you mean by facilitate?
Not only facilitator. Facilitator, you see, in some cases, for example, in India, you can do business without any facilitator. You can do something on your own. In all these Gulf countries, you need somebody even to sponsor the business. He is not only a facilitator, he is the man. He is the front of the company. If anything happens, he is a person who is accountable to the government. And he can take the company to task. So company is at the mercy of the sponsor, to some extent we can say. He is, as you rightly said, he is a facilitator plus something more than that. So we changed our sponsor, and the new sponsor was Minister of Interior at that time. This was in 1988.
Kuwait.
In Kuwait. Then I went to Kuwait, being the senior most employee of this American multinational with power of attorney to deal with things. I was given a lot of respect by the sponsor, the Minister of Interior. And we could do things in a smooth and better way. Because
he's
of the influence.
Something like the Home Minister of Kuwait.
Yeah, Minister of Interior.
Yes.
Home Minister of Kuwait.
Yeah.
And in all these countries, okay, the Amir of Kuwait, he chooses, okay.
He is the king.
Amir is the king. He chooses, okay, so and so person will be the Minister of Interior, another person will be the Minister for some other portfolio.
It's
like
a kingdom.
That. Kingdom. It's a kingdom. And in the kingdom, all these ministers are extremely powerful. And nobody can that easily go near them. So this sponsor, what happened was, before I could enter Bahrain, he said, okay, you just come to Kuwait, we will keep your entry papers at the airport, and then we will send a message to Bahrain to allow you to board the aircraft in Bahrain. See, otherwise what happens when you get out of Bahrain and take a flight to Kuwait, you should have some invitation from them. Otherwise, invitation in the sense you need a visa. Without visa, you cannot travel. But in my case, what happened was, there was only a message from Minister's office. And based on the message, the Bahrain authorities allowed me to board the plane to Kuwait. And in Kuwait, what happened was, the people from Minister's office, like something like CBI person, okay, he came and took me inside the country. So that much powerful. Then what happened was, our business was going on as usual. We were all doing things pretty well. Wherever I was going, all sort of respect, just because of the signature of this Minister of Interior.
Because you are working with him.
Working with him. He is a recognized entity locally. Okay, though I was working for the American company, only the sponsor's name will be shown in the passport. And he has also signed. He said, okay, well, whoever sees, he will know that you are directly with me. Nobody can ask any questions. So whenever I used to go out of Kuwait in 1989 or 19 early before the war, when they look at my passport, immediately the passport at the airport, immediately they will take me to the airport manager's office, make me sit there, and then I will be the last person to board the plane. The police persons will come, they will take all the luggage, even the handbag, put everything. Actually, it was an embarrassment for me in the sense I was just thinking, why are these people doing all these things to me? It's just because of the rubber stamp. And the fact that I am working for the company with all this authority and the position, because of the position. And I used to pray to Swami, Swami, let me not be carried away by all these unreal things of the world. Let me just do my duty. You please guide me. So these things were going on smoothly, and then somewhere around the middle of July 1990, myself, my wife and the two kids, we came to India. I left them here, went back to Kuwait within 10 days. And I told my wife, I am getting visas for your parents. So your parents, yourself and our both children, you all traveled together to Kuwait in the first week of August 1990. So that was the arrangement. So I went back to Kuwait after leaving them in India around the middle of July 1990. Then on 1st of August 1990, which was a Wednesday, we had a serious business meeting. Our managing director from Cyprus had come, myself, and the local sponsor minister. He was also there. We were discussing about so many things. And then what happened was, this was late in the evening, until 8:30 in the evening we were there in the office, the three of us were there in the office. So I asked the minister, by that time what happened was, a few days prior to that, all the Iraqi troops had surrounded the Kuwait border. And they announced at any time they will get into Kuwait, to capture Kuwait. So I asked the sponsor, who is the Minister of Interior, what's going on and then will anything happen? Then he was a little bit annoyed. He said, you are talking to the Minister of Interior. I have spoken to the Secretary of State in US. I have spoken to this person, that department, US. Nothing will happen. So you don't have to worry about it. So at 8:30 in the night, okay, our managing director took the flight at 10:30 to Cyprus. I came back home. The minister also left. Exactly at 12 o'clock, that night, which was August 1st night, and then 2nd August, early morning, Kuwait was invaded by Iraq. Then lot of bombardments were going on. I was staying near the palace, Amir's palace. So I could hear lot of aircrafts flying over, lot of bombardments going on here and there. So I was just thinking, am I dreaming or is it reality? Then I found it's reality, it's not dream. I just peeped outside through the window of the house. The company had provided an excellent accommodation, a duplex accommodation. So when I looked down, I saw all the Iraqi soldiers on the road. And then there were dead bodies on the road.
Oh my God.
So I thought, it's all over. Then a few hours later, an announcement comes in the TV saying that the Amir of Kuwait and the Minister of Interior, with whom I was there until 8:30 the previous night, these two persons had left Kuwait for Saudi Arabia by helicopter, and death sentence is declared on the heads of these two people, the Amir of Kuwait and the Minister of Interior. Just a few hours later, early in the morning. So you can imagine. And his name was in my passport. So I thought it is all over. At any time, the Iraqis will shoot or they will enter the apartment. And then so many kinds of stories were going on, like Iraqi soldiers entering the houses, killing the inmates and occupying the apartments. And then daily there will be some rumor saying that, okay, they will put chemicals in all the water tanks so that everybody will die. All those things were going on. So I was just praying to Swami, Swami, if at all I have to die, it should happen only in Bharat Bhumi to me. I never wanted to get out of this country, but somehow or other, because of circumstances, because whatever was destined, I had to come out of this country. You made me marry. And then even before the children were born, Swami told, before my daughter was born, Swami came in the dream. He said, I am going to give you a daughter. Similarly, before son was born, Swami came in my wife's dream and then said, we are going to have a son. This is your son. So I was just saying, Swami, and I never wanted any of these positions also. I was just treading the way you had shown. And why is this happening? Somehow or other, I should die only in India. Then I was thinking it's impossible for me to come to India because all the borders are closed. Nobody is allowed to get out of the country. So I thought even if I had to die, I should not die halfway through my prayers. In other words, if I am doing, for example, Vishnu Sahasranamam, I should die at the end. Or if I am doing Sai Ashtotra after completing it, after doing the bhajans, not in between. Otherwise, what happens is somebody will knock at the door, open the door, shoot, and then occupy the apartment. That's what was going on. Then after 48 hours, curfew was lifted. So as a senior person, I had the responsibility of contacting all the senior managers and making arrangements about their stay in Kuwait for further period, and then also telling them I have to necessarily leave the country because of the constraints I have. So we, the managers, met, and then all the nationalities were there. US nationals, Britishers, Polish, Lebanese, Syrian, Jordanians, Palestinians, Egyptians, Sri Lankans, Indians. So I had to convene a meeting of the managers and then discuss all the issues. And then things were sorted out, saying that, okay, everyone will take his own course of action, and then every manager will try to help the departmental people by telling them about their plans. Or if somebody wants to leave at his own or her own risk, one can leave the country. So as I was coming on the road, the red signal came, and before my car, there was another car, and one Kuwaiti was sitting in that car. He was driving the vehicle. Then when the red signal came, one Iraqi soldier came. He showed one gun. In fact, he put one gun on his head. The Iraqi soldier put a gun on the head of Kuwaiti, and the Kuwaiti had to simply get out of the car. Then this Iraqi soldier got into the car, drove that car away. Next was my car, and hardly only two cars. Otherwise, the road was empty, except for the armored vehicles, tankers, and then anti-aircraft guns, soldiers, all those things. Then the green signal came. Nobody stopped my car. Straight away, I drove and came home. Then 4 days passed. Saddam Hussein announced all the banks have to be reopened.
Saddam Hussein?
Saddam Hussein. The Iraq government announced that all the banks in Kuwait should be reopened in the next 2 days. And then our market share in Kuwait for ATM was 100%. NCR's market share at that time. And we also
NCR
had
produces ATM machines.
ATMs, yeah. They are the world leaders even today in ATMs. Then we had some mainframe computers in some of the banks, like BKME and a few others, Bank of Kuwait and Middle East and a few other banks. So when this announcement came, I thought somebody will trace me in my house, something will happen. So there was an urgency for me to get out of my house. So I moved into my cousin's house, who was living within a radius of 5 kilometers. I just took only one bag, looked at all the belongings in the house. Just the previous year, I had gone with my family, wife and children, on an European tour, went to US. So there was this video camera, this, that, cassettes, jewels, all expensive items. So I was looking at all those things. Then I was just praying to Swami, Swami, you have given me the best of education. You have given me the best of position. You have given me a lot of money also, in the sense, good job, everything was good. But all these things are not going to help me at this point of time, which is a crisis. Only your blessings can help me. And I was not sure what will happen. So I prayed to Swami. I did not take any item from the house, just took two pants, two shirts, and Swami's photo in the back. Just a handbag. Left the house, and the car, everything was left in the house itself. Got into my cousin's car, went to his house. Then we decided we will leave Kuwait on the 9th of August, which was a Thursday. And you know, all these days, 24 hours, I could not sleep at all. The pressure was so much, and so many attacks here and there were going on. So it was very, very tense situation.
You don't know what is happening the next moment.
Yeah, you don't know. Because it's total war, and nobody was prepared to come out of his house. Nobody, you can't see civilians on the road. But we just drove the car, somehow or other reached, because it was a crisis situation. Then this Palestinian administration manager, he told me, sir, all the exit routes are closed, but I know of one way, which is from Kuwait, we have to travel through Iraq and then reach Jordan. So I know that route. So I will take you to Amman. You will travel in my car. He was having Mercedes-Benz car. I am just telling Mercedes-Benz car all those things because normally we think, oh, such a big car, this and that. But in the time of crisis, you just see somehow or other, your priority is to get out. Then he told me on 9th morning, sir, you come to this particular location. Just you board my car and we will go together. When I told about this plan to my cousin, he said, Swami has done so many miracles in your life, so I will come in my car. You also come in my car. So my cousin, his wife and two children, we got into one car. And there was another gentleman who was working for Ernst & Young in Kuwait, who did his CA from UK. He was born in Sudan. He knows Arabic very well. Suddenly he called. He said, the soldiers are occupying flats in our building, so I am just getting out of my apartment with my family and two kids. I am just coming away to your house, he said. Then I told him, no, better you come to my cousin's house. That's where I am staying, so we will all travel. So on 9th of August, which was a Thursday, we left Kuwait. And then this Palestinian manager, I told him, you show us the way, we will simply follow your car. Because tension was so much, we were not knowing the route also. Our only direction was follow this Mercedes-Benz car, which is going in the front, that's all. So what happened was, after driving for about 100 kilometers, suddenly an army officer got into the vehicle of this Palestinian person, and they drove away. And after some time, that vehicle took a left turn, and we thought we will take a right turn. There was deviation. We were not knowing. We thought it's better we take a right turn and not follow that car. We took a right turn, and then we came to Basra. And before that, what happened was, there was a military check post. The military check post, when we approached, one soldier came. He came near me. My cousin was driving. I was sitting in the front. He said, 15 check posts, raise your hand. They will open. That's all he said. So, but I could not understand anything. So I thought, if he opens this check post, that itself is something good, is it not? So he opened that check post. Then it was surprised. I was surprised. Then afterwards,
he didn't ask you anything more.
Absolutely nothing. He simply said, 15 check posts, raise your hands, they will open. What kind of a... So I was just saying, maybe Swami is saying, I don't know. We'll simply follow the instructions. Then after some time, after some distance, another check post came. I simply raised my hand, sitting inside the car. The check post opened. Then we reached Basra. In Basra, I want to tell about one incident. We went to a hotel, and then I took some mineral water, some biscuits, and gave 20 Kuwaiti dinar. to the man at the counter. And one Iraq, one Kuwaiti dinar is some equivalent to about $3.5 US those days, and even today also around that. So 20 Iraqi dinar is something like $72. And what that man did was he gave me mineral water and then biscuits, all those things. And the balance he gave in Iraqi dinar, which was 190 Iraqi dinars. Because the exchange rate was 1 Kuwaiti dinar was equivalent to 10 Iraqi dinars. But I had no option. Whatever he gave, just accepted. Then as I was sitting, another Kuwaiti person with his wife and two kids entered. He asked for the same thing, biscuits and mineral water. The man in the counter, who is an Arab, he said, "No, you are trying to get out of this country. I cannot give you." Then the Kuwaiti, what he did was he opened the box, suitcase, which was full of currency. He took a bundle of Kuwaiti dinars, 20 dinar notes. So 20 into 100, 2000 Kuwaiti dinar, equivalent to $7,200. So he said, "You keep this and give me a bottle of mineral water." The man in the counter, he said, "No, this is not acceptable. I'll ring up the police. Ask them to put you behind bars. You cannot get away." Then what that man did, he just put that money back in his suitcase, closed that suitcase and ran on the roads. So I was just thinking, "Swami, what is this?" Until last week, they were multimillionaires. Because in Kuwait, everybody was a multimillionaire. All the locals were multimillionaire. There was no need for them to take up any job. If at all they work, they'll be working for some government companies, going for a few hours, and the government was taking extremely good care of all the Kuwaiti citizens. Then I was just thinking, "Swami, while this life is there in this body, we should earn the currency which is acceptable in your kingdom. What is the use of accumulating all the wealth when we cannot take even a single paisa with us?" So that was a lesson Vishwami showed me in reality.
It's so amazing that he accepted from you.
Yeah.
And the other Kuwaiti was just...
And I am a Hindu, the man in the counter is an Arab, Muslim, the other fellow is a Kuwaiti, Arab. You just see, all that you need is the divine grace. See, we are born in this world in order not to be born again. We completely forget that. We are carried away by the maya of this world, running after authority, money, good education. All those things are good. But all these things should be given back to the society. Then only we can earn the currency which is acceptable in the kingdom of God. Not otherwise. What for are we earning? Are we earning for the children? Are we earning for our relatives? Are we earning for ourselves? No. But during this life period, we are given an opportunity to exchange all the gifts given by God, to earn the gift from God.
Wonderful.
Then what happened was, then the third military checkpost road, I raised my hand, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and like that it opened. In roughly about 24 hours, we covered 1600 kilometers. Just we were driving. And then there were so many instances also in between which I want to skip for want of time, okay? Where Swami showed his presence, all those things were there. Then the 14th military checkpost, what happened was, I raised my hand, the soldier did not open. By that time, we had crossed nearly 1300 kilometers. We left on August 9th. This was on August 10th morning. So I said, "Oh, Swami, what is this? All this distance we have traveled, you have made us travel, now the gate is not opening." Then the man came towards us, the soldier came towards us. And as he was coming somewhere near the bonnet, he just looked at me. And then he said, "There's no petrol." look at the vehicle. So I was just wondering, he has not even peeped inside the car, how is he able to say? I looked at the petrol indicator, it was empty, it was standing in red. Then he said, for the next 200 kilometers, there is no fuel station. So better you go back half a kilometer, there is a petrol station, fill, and then come back.
He is advising you, helping
He is advising. And without seeing inside of the car. Then we were all totally confused. Then what he did was, you see, we had kept one magazine, which is called Mangai Malar, on the dashboard of the car, which in this magazine, in the front page, Swami's photo was there, and then there were articles on Swami. So this particular Iraqi soldier said, can I have this magazine? So I'll go through it until you come back. So I was just thinking, this is Tamil magazine. Anyway, we have to just listen to whatever he says. So it was a big surprise. He said, okay, you take that magazine. He took that magazine. Then we went back, filled up the petrol, came back. Then as we were coming back, he was just going through the various pages in the magazine. Tamil magazine. Then he gave back that magazine and gave a military salute, opened the gate. So this was the 14th military checkpost. We crossed the 14th checkpost. Then came to the last military checkpost, 15th. That was the administrative headquarters, military headquarters of the border between Iraq and Jordan. Lot of military exercise was going on, lot of soldiers. So I got down from the car, keeping all the passports together. I approached a soldier. I told him, we want to get out of this place. Can you give us exit stamp? Then he said, sir, I have to talk to my boss. It's already evening. So tomorrow morning you come, I'll check with my boss, because he has to talk to Saddam Hussein. He said, you see, what connection? I am nobody. If he says, okay, just get out of this country, we would have been very, very happy. But that did not happen. Then he said, nobody is allowed to get out of this country, so I have to check with my boss. He will speak to Saddam Hussein, take the permission. So I thought it's an impossible task. Then he said, if you want to wait, you wait in the car throughout the night. So we went to the car. And then what he said was, from the car, only one person can get down at a time. If more than one of you get down, I will shoot. So you can imagine the tension we had. And we had given all the sleeping dosages to the children so that they won't get up. Vicks cough syrup we gave. Then throughout that night we spent in the car. Each one, in fact, there were three cars, my car and then Kirit Gandhi's car. Then there was another gentleman by Salim. Three cars. The next day morning I went there. He took me to the boss in the military headquarters. Then the boss cabin was very big and then he was busy on the phone talking to people, giving instructions. Then I was having all these 10-12 passports. The first thing he asked me was, give me your passport. So I was scared because Saddam Hussein was holding all the Europeans and Americans as hostages. And I had traveled to all these countries just the previous year in 1989. So I thought my life is finished. Swami, somehow or other, take my life away. I don't want to die in the hands of these people.
That too, your passport has the name of the minister.
Minister who is given death sentence by Saddam Hussein. And his photos were coming regularly in the TV. So there is no way one can miss this. Saddam Hussein was continuously announcing death sentence for two people, Amir of Kuwait and the Minister of Interior, whose name is in my passport. Then he went through all the pages. All the others were given normal stamping. It was taken outside and then somebody gave an exit stamp. But in my case, he went through each and every page. Then I thought it's all over for me in my life. So I was praying to Swami, Swami, please take away my life and then you take care of the children, all, wife, everybody, because I want to have a peaceful death. Then what happened was, after going through all the pages, when he came to the page where the sponsor's name is there, resident stamp is stamped, he looked at me, he said, I am going to give you something special. So I thought, okay, he is going to hang me in one dark room or what will happen, I don't know, Swami. I kept on praying very, very deeply, very, very sincerely. Then he said, I like you so much. I am the right hand of Saddam Hussein. Nobody can ask you any questions. In Iraq, you can come and go any number of times. So I am signing on this passport. That's what he said. So in my passport, even today, on the one side, you have the minister's name, Minister of Kuwait. And on the other side, you have Saddam Hussein's, Mr. Saddam Hussein's, president of Iraq at that time, his senior most officer's signature. Then he hugged me. Then he said, you cannot take your vehicle out of this country because your vehicle is a property of Iraq. Now I had to talk to Saddam Hussein again in order to get his permission and allow you to take the vehicle. Then I said, no, we will leave the vehicle because I was in a hurry to get out of the country somehow or other. So I said, no, I will manage, sir, please you don't bother. Then he said, how can you manage? Next 200 kilometers is new, 250 kilometers is neutral zone. How will you cross the neutral zone? I said, no, sir, we will walk. You see, my thing was somehow or other get out of this country and then before anything happens to my life, I should get out.
Or they change that decision.
Yeah, they change their decision. So then he said, okay, in that case, your wish. So I came out, told all the people in the three vehicles, I said, just get out with your baggage, we will all walk. So they said, Hari, what are you saying? He said, simply just we will get out of this 15th military checkpost, we will walk. And they were not knowing, even I was not knowing. I was just praying to Swami, Swami, I don't know, you will have to show the way. Then the 15th military checkpost was opened. You can imagine next 250 kilometer desert, just a road, nothing. We would have walked just 10 feet. Then miracle of miracles, one bus came from the other side. There was a driver, there was a conductor. The conductor said, going through Amman, just get inside the bus. There was no traffic except us, there was none. So I knew it was Swami who has come in the form of driver, conductor and bus. So you see, when you experience such things, you are spellbound. You can't say anything at that point of time. You just enjoy the divine grace. And you just wonder, Swami, you can make sun as moon and make moon as sun. And that's what you are doing in our lives. Then the bus took us to Amman. We were given entry stamps. And then we were put in Sheraton Hotel. 5-star hotel. Next moment, you can just imagine being with a multinational company. So I was just thinking, Swami, what is this? 5 hours back, I was not sure about this life. I was just praying some or other, save me. 2 days back, it was a different scenario. Now, all the facilities. So all these things in life, they are all constantly changing. And then, what is not changing is you, Swami. You are there always, showing your abundant love and grace. Though this is what I need in life, Swami, please. We need your love and guidance all the time in our life. That's the only prayer. Come what may, we are not bothered because that's what we have shown to all of us. Then we were the first Indians to come to Bombay. We were interviewed by the journalists, even in the Hindu first page. The write-up has come. Then I told everybody, just to give them comfort, all Indians are safe in Kuwait, nothing to worry about. Everybody will come out safely. It's a question of time. Then 2 months later, the external minister at that time, Mr. I.K. Gujral, he went to Iraq and then the Indians were brought by ships. Now, that's once. Then what happened was, I was transferred to Cyprus and Swami said, quit the job, enough is enough, you'll have to come back to India. So I quit the job at a very, very senior position. Then I could not tell them, okay, Swami told. So our managing director was wondering, he asked me, what is wrong with you? I said, sir, I want to go back to my country. So I came back. Just at that time, the house which were taken in Chennai, which we booked in 1988, it was ready in 1990. original plan was to give it on rental to some Sai devotees so that they can do bhajans. See, in all the places, though we were abroad, we were looking at a house, big hall, where we can have Swami's shrine. Swami is the first person. Okay, he is the head of the family. We had to give him the best place to stay. And then around him, our lives will revolve. So we used to have shrine in the main hall, in Bahrain, everywhere, wherever we were there, that was the main hall was Swami's room. And then we used to have bhajans and Swami's 60th birthday celebration. All those things were happening in our house. And then coming back to the Chennai story, when we came back, this house was just ready. We just moved into the house. Then lot of vibhushis was coming in the house, like from walls, all the walls vibhuti will come. You just ask Swami, give vibhuti, from the wall vibhuti will come. And then from all the photos, then from the windows, as if somebody is pouring vibhuti from outside the window. Along with the wind, the vibhuti was coming. So it was there for a few days. Then myself and my wife were praying. So many people came and visited. Then we were praying to Swami, Swami, we had to lead normal life. We don't know. These are all your gifts only, but we are too small and we should not have any distractions in life, Swami. Please guide us. Please, some or other, though people would want all these things, it has gone to a level where it's becoming a sort of distraction in spirituality. So we are unable to, because wherever you go, in all the rooms, all the houses, everywhere, and then even on the floor, so you can see the footsteps of the people. How can you leave, you tell me? So then what happened was, we cleaned, and then both of us prayed. Then we told Swami, if you agree with whatever you had done, only from this photo you give vibhuti. Then Swami gave vibhuti only from his photo. Then the vibhuti stopped. I am just saying all these things just to show that Swami is omnipresent, omniscience. He is Vishwaswarupi. He is Sarvadevadas Swarupi. He is everything for all of us. Now, coming to Swami's confirmation, just see. Swami came in the dream after he came to Chennai. And then he said, you know, you were born in Tehran in one of the previous lives.
Tehran?
Tehran.
Iran.
Iran. So I should have been a Muslim, is it not? And you were supposed to undergo some karma in the Persian Gulf. But due to my grace, I brought you safely out of Kuwait. And then all these dreams, Swami will be sitting in a chair, ask me to take Pada Namaskar, and then he will say, that's a kind of conversation. And then in 1991, we all came to Puttaparthi also. We came for Swami's birthday, November 23rd, 1991. On 18th of November, Swami came in my dream and gave discourse for 1 hour. Full discourse. And then the following day, on 19th of November, one of our friends said, I am going to Puttaparthi, you also come along. So we came here. The discourse was exactly the same. What's the discourse given by Swami on 23rd November 1991 was the same. Mr. Narasimha Rao, who was the Prime Minister of India at that time, he was the chief guest. And then myself and my wife were crying, sitting in some corner in the crowd. See how Swami shows his grace on the devotees, abundant grace, without reasons. Then in 2004, what happened was, as our son Vijay was studying here, one day he was talking to the Brindavan warden sir, where Vijay was also there. Swami was also there. And the warden sir was telling Swami, Swami, his father is an auditor. He was in Dubai. Then Swami said, he is a chartered accountant. I only brought him from abroad.
I only brought him from abroad.
Then he told my son, I want to talk to your father. Parents, bring them. We were there in Whitefield only. Then on June 5th, 2004, he gave us a family interview where he said about some of the happenings. And then even before that, the dream also, he said, see, I had to come as soldier in the first gate.
It was Swami
in the first gate. He said, the soldier who said, you raise your hands, 15 checkposts will open. It was Swami.
He told you that?
Yeah, he told. In the dream, he told. Subsequently, in the interview also, he said, I only brought all those things. Then he said, in the 14th military checkpost, again I had to come as a soldier. Though I was traveling with you in the car, I was with you, inside you, around you, below, above. This is what he had done. Then Swami said, you forgot to fill petrol. So I had come as a soldier, remind you to fill the gas. So I had to take this Tamil magazine also, just to show you, okay, I have come in that form. Then we were all thrilled. We could not express anything. Then in the interview also, Swami said, I was crying. Then Swami said, you see, Swami is so affectionate. His love for his devotees, his love for everybody, whether you call yourself a devotee or not, his grace is there for everybody who is open. As Swami says, if you put the vessel upside down, you can't receive the water. Is it not? The vessel should be facing the sky, then the grace flows in. That is Swami. Then in the interview, Swami told a few other things also, personal things about health and a few other issues. Then suddenly he looked at my daughter and he said, I will conduct the marriage. I will conduct your marriage. He said, Kalyanam, Kalyanam, Kalyanam. Three times he said, I will do. He said, this year itself I will do. That was 2004. Then the interview was over, and then Swami said, come to Puttaparthi, you had to come along with me, all those things. Then we were brought to Puttaparthi. So many other things are there. Then what happened was, we were thinking, was it 31st December 2004. According to us, that is the year. Is it not? This year means.
Yes.
Then nothing happened. And you know, when Swami gives, unless he calls, there is no way you can go near Swami. We were here. We met Mr. Chakravarti, Ashram Secretary. We met other people. They also knew all this. Then they said, you'll have to sit in the crowd. If Swami wants, he will call your son and then tell you. And nothing happened. And we also decided, it is Swami's child. Is it not Swami a child? Swami's child, he will take care. 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9. 2010 also came. Nothing happened. And we also did not look out that seriously, because we should not go against what Swami said. Then in 2010, suddenly Swami came in my dream one day. He said, I said, I will conduct the marriage. He said, no, tomorrow the boy is coming to your house. From Chitravati the boy is coming. So then the dream got over. Then I knew, okay, Chitravati means some Swami student. So exactly the same thing happened. Ramesh Karthik, who is married to our daughter, he came the next day to pick up somebody else, actually, who had come from Puttaparthi. And then after some time, we thought, maybe this boy, we checked with them. They also said, yes, we had to take Swami's blessings. So both the families came here, took Swami's blessings, and the marriage was conducted here. So leave alone all these worldly things. Swami had said so many other things. He has shown some of my previous lives, and then he has shown the lives of people who are leading just normal life in this current birth. But they were great souls. They were extremely rich in previous lives. Some of the things, and Swami said, this is why they are like this. And then, in one dream, Swami said, about myself and my son. He said, you were Vital brothers in the north. That dream also he showed. So you see how all these relationships change. All that we have to focus is on Swami, pray for him to show the right path in this life. See, from all these things, what I could say is, we have learnt so many lessons in our life. Money, education, authority, they don't come with us when we leave this world. We are born here not to be born again. Our forefathers have prayed to Swami for generations to bless the family. We have done tons and mountains of punya karma to take birth during Avadar's time. And out of his abundant love, Swami has taken us into his fold. We should never miss these opportunities. Come what may, we should sacrifice our life, give back to the society what we have taken in by way of service and offer everything at Swami's lotus feet.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much. As you were narrating the how Swami confirmed that he was the person at the security gates.
Yeah.
It's really also amazing how that officer at the last gate, when you suspected that he will definitely put you through some trial, he actually embraced you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just forgot to tell you one thing. I will just add one more thing here. See, what Swami told was, Swami said, you see, all these passports, when he was going through all the passports, Swami said he did not see any of those stampings of European countries, US, and even the sponsor stamping. He said, I was in his heart, so I made him to see good things. Mm-hmm. So he was extremely happy, and
that's
then he embraced.
He just told you that you are such a good man and all that. Yeah. That is absolutely surprising, the way he behaved. I mean, everything about this episode is mind-blowing. Wonderful. It's really such a fantastic experience to see how Bhagwan holds our hands and he guides us once you are dependent on him completely. And as you were narrating to me before the conversation started also, how Swami also gave you the message through different interactions and dreams about the importance of Namasmarana.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. In one dream he said, he showed me my previous life. I was just crying because my father had abandoned us, family was abandoned, and my mother was dependent on her brother, elder brother. In this life, in the current, my mother, she did not have any of the brothers. And my parents died. My mother died in 1993, father died in 1994. This dream came in 2004. And then Swami showed this dream. He said, all these vasanas are there inside, so you are crying about your mother, one of the mothers in one of the previous births. What I have shown is one of the mothers. Like this, you have taken several births. The best thing is, after the dream got over, it was Swami talking in the room, Akashvani. I was crying and crying. And then Swami said, just to get over the samsar, okay, the chain of birth and death, you have to keep on doing Namasmarana. That's the only way to break this chain of birth and death.
So we have all these tendencies with which we are born, which we call vasanas, and which is because of the different things that we have done in different births. And many times I think it's been really difficult for people to get over these vasanas. So it could be in any form. But now Bhagwan so clearly guided you and said that one easy way to get over this is to chant his name.
Chant his name and see Swami in animate and inanimate things, in everything. Because Swami is there in all human beings, in all inanimate things. He is a doer of everything.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much for coming to the studio and sharing this episode. I know in this last 40 years of your life, it's actually replete with so many instances of His grace and His omniscience. And what you have shared today is probably one or two very, very salient ones, and they are so inspiring. And I just hope that we will have the chance to talk to you again, where you can take some more slices, divine slices from your life, and help us and inspire us. Because every instance that we listen of His love and His grace and His protective hand to ensure that we come out of this cycle of birth and death is always inspiring, and it always reinvigorates you to pursue on the spiritual path. Finally, did you ever think that you'll actually be narrating all this on Radio Sai when you came to Parthi this time?
Yes and no, sir. Let me tell you. Because I never want to share any of these experiences openly with anybody. And all my friends in the close circle, they all know about it. So one of our very close friends, Mitra Nitin Achar, was telling me, when you come to Parthi, please come and contact the Radio Sai people. So I contacted. I thought, okay, whatever Swami decides, that's His will. And then I am really happy that Swami has given me an opportunity to share this experience through Radio Sai. It's not my will. I never think of anything. It's all Swami's will only. He overrules everything. And it's purely His grace, sir.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thanks very much for this opportunity, sir.
Our pleasure. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram, you just heard a conversation with Mr. Hari Hare Krishnan. A long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba, Mr. Krishnan shared with us some of his most cherished moments with Bhagwan, especially how he came to his rescue during the Gulf War in the early 90s. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdie, and this was recorded in our studio on September 2012. This came to you as a part of our radio series Trist with Divinity, where we bring you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. We hope you enjoyed it. Do send us your comments and feedback through email. As always, our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. Thank you, Sai Ram.
ओंकार सतनाम करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजोनि से भं गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच Thank you.
Vaheguru, Vaheguru ji bolo. Vaheguru, Vaheguru, Vaheguru ji bolo. Satnam, Satnam, Satnam ji bolo. Satnam, Satnam, Satnam ji bolo.
Nit nit japiye tere naam ji bolo.
Nit nit japiye tere naam ji bolo.
Satnam, Satnam, Satnam ji bolo.
Satnam, Satnam, Satnam ji bolo.
Ram, 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 Ram.
Krishna ji bolo
Krishna 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 ji bolo
nitya japiye Krishna naam ji bolo
nitya japiye Krishna naam ji bolo
Govinda jay jay Gopal jay jay
Govinda jay jay Gopal jay jay
Radha Raman Hari Govinda jay jay
Radha Raman Hari Govinda jay jay
Govinda jay jay Gopal jay jay
Govinda jay
गिरिधर बाला हे नंदलाला
गिरिधर बाला हे नंदलाला
गिरिधर बाला हे नंदलाला
गिरिधर बाला हे नंदलाला
देवकी नंदन श्याम गोपाला
देवकी नंदन
श्याम गोपाला गिरिधर बाला
बाला
देवकी नंदन Bala, hey Nandalala.